Father, thank you for this time we can spend together this morning. Please bless those who hear this message on tape. And bless those who hear it this morning for the first time here. Touch our hearts, illuminate our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 calls Jesus the Word. Have you ever noticed that? Why do you suppose John called Jesus the Word? As I've mentioned before to some of you, why didn't he just call him the paragraph? You see, the word has some significance, and John recorded Jesus as being the Word, and I'm suggesting this morning the reason for that is because Jesus is the communications link between us and our Father God. Jesus communicates what the Father is like, both in person when he was here 2,000 years ago, as well as in his communication to his disciples who wrote it down. So Jesus is referred to as the Word. I'd like for you to notice verses 2 and 3 there of John chapter 1. It says, "The same was in the beginning with God," and what does the next two words say? All things. How much is that? All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. What does that mean? It means He made all things. Means exactly what it says, doesn't it? That's right. It means that Jesus was with God in the beginning, and through Jesus, everything was created or made. In other words, Jesus was the spokesperson who called this world into existence. Thus, we refer to Him as the Creator God. Correct? If you were to take a quick look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the very first couple of verses, that's exactly what the author states. That Jesus was in the beginning, He was the spokesperson, and He was the Creator. Let's take a look at it. Hebrews 1, chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. We read that God, who spoke in times past through the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son Jesus, by whom the worlds are made. Now follow me closely. Not only did Jesus speak the worlds into existence, He gave you and me our existence. Would you agree with that? Paul put it like this in his first letter to the church at Corinth. I'm reading from chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse 19, for those of you that are writing this text down this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. I'll be reading it from the Amplified Bible this morning, which gives us a little broader concept of this verse. Notice what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. "Do you not know that your body..." Your what? Your body, not mine. "Your body," it says, including mine, "is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God. You are not your own." Do you like that? Well, I have a question. If we don't even own our own bodies, then how can we call ourselves owners of anything? I mean, if I don't own this, then pray tell, what in the world do I own? Certainly not my wife. Amen? Do you men own yours? I hear the women respond. And how about you wives? Do you own your husbands? No. Sometimes we control them, though, don't we? We don't own them. Now, parents, certainly we must own our children. How about our little ones? This is my son. This is my daughter. These are my grandchildren. Are they really? Well, if you understand the biblical concept, I have news for you this morning. You don't own yourself. Thus, you obviously don't own your mate. And together, you certainly don't own God's children. They're His, loaned to you for a duration of time. You are His stewards, His temporary babysitters, if you please, to take care of His children that He's entrusted to your care and mine. So one day He can call on you and say, "Where is my little one? Where is my little flock that I've entrusted to you?" You know, it's really neat if we understand that concept, that these little children belong to God instead of belonging to us. So when they have problems, we recognize that it's God's problem, not ours. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's move along, and I think you'll see it even more emphatically as we progress. May I suggest this morning that the one who creates anything is the owner of that which He creates. Now listen, God says all things were made by Him and not anything. In other words, not one thing was made without Him. In other words, you and I cannot create anything, even our children that I was referring to a moment ago, without making or producing or creating those children from pre-existing matter. Meaning that you and I are really not the creators at all. We're only the ones that choose to bring children into existence. But where did the sperm come from? Where did the egg come from? Where did that unification come from? It came from Almighty God, who gave us the privilege of choosing when and if we chose to have children. But He is the one that gave them life. He's the one that sustains their life. He is the one, beloved, that sustains your life and mine. In fact, that's why the Apostle Paul could say that in God we live and move and have our being. How about you, though? Are you different? Last night, for instance, when you went to bed and tucked yourself in, did you tell your little heart to keep beating? "Now I'm going to go to sleep, but I want you to keep beating tonight. It's my choice. And breath, I want you to keep breathing tonight. I want that whole autonomic nervous system to just keep functioning tonight." Did you make that decision last night? Probably not. Who kept you alive last night while you were asleep, not minding the business? God did. Does that sound too simple? Does that sound too silly this morning? I want you to understand, beloved, that you are not your own. And yet God has put you in charge of this body. He causes you to live moment by moment. Don't you think we owe Him something? We at least owe Him the courtesy to take good care of that which He has entrusted to us. Whether it's our wife, our husband, the children that He has given to us, or the bodies that He has entrusted to our care. Beloved, whatever we place in our hands was first materialized by the creative power of God. Thus, we can never claim anything as ours except for the character that we may develop by being faithful stewards in all that God has entrusted to us. Character we can take with us from this land to the promised land. Amen? Now let's review. Number one, Jesus is our creator and owner. Number two, we are His children or stewards of all that He has entrusted to us. On the other hand, now follow me, if we choose to consider ourselves as owners this morning, then we exalt ourselves into the position of creator of all that we claim to own. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Do you want me to repeat it? No, we don't have time. Let's keep moving. I'll say it in another way. If you and I claim to own anything, then you and I exalt ourselves into the position of creator of it. It's mine by creation. Because we've already determined that you can only own that which you create. Now, follow me. If we are owners, then it becomes our sole responsibility if something goes haywire with that which we own. In other words, if we run into unforeseen problems, which I can guarantee you and I will, then we only have ourselves to turn to in crisis. Am I making sense? This is a heavy thought. It really should make a profound impact on your mind this morning. By becoming an owner, in other words, we separate ourselves from God. Our father-son, father-daughter relationship is broken, and we step into the field of competition with God. Thus, our prayer life, follow me closely, our prayer life is not only ineffective but unnecessary, for we have unwittingly become our own God. This leaves us with no one to pray to except ourselves. It's no wonder that we have no end of problems, for by our own competitive spirit and desire to be number one and owners, we have eliminated the only true God, Jesus Christ, from our lives. The only solution, we've cut off and we've broken our relationship with God. Jesus said in one of his Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Who would have ever thought that we'd be sharp enough to put ourselves in that place just by claiming ownership? No wonder Satan doesn't want you to hear nor understand this subject we've chosen to talk about. Because Satan wants you to be an owner. He doesn't care of what, just be an owner. And when you become an owner of anything, or consider yourself an owner of anything, then Satan creates a problem in that which you own, and you have no one to turn to except yourself to solve the problem. And thus you're defeated before you begin. And Satan gloats over that. Destruction of your soul. Does that make sense? It's not a very happy thought, but it should make sense to you this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 11, do you remember that famous statement? Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who gives it to us? Not the lazy boy. Not magic fingers. Who gives us the rest? I, Jesus said, will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Anybody need that? Bud, you like a little rest occasionally? Real sweet rest? The wise man said, "Sweet is the rest of a laboring man." "Ye shall find rest." Or security for your souls. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do men and women look for security today? May I suggest that the security that God speaks of is in Jesus Christ. And when He is the owner and I am His steward, there's nothing I can't ask Him for. And if I need it, He's promised to give it. Amen? But if I own everything and I go to seek myself, how much can I give myself? Not a whole lot. Unlimited. Being a steward, you're unlimited. Active millionaires for God. My daddy owns everything. How about yours? Or are you daddy? If you're daddy, you have problems. My daddy owns everything. My father owns everything. And if I need it, he'll see that I get it. Amen? Beloved, if you have been carrying around with you ignorantly, if you've been carrying around a heavy burden, one that you've placed on your own shoulders perhaps, or that others have tried to place on you, then why not get out from under it today? Why not let religion do something practical for you? And get out from under the burden that's on your shoulders this morning. And give that back to God, who is the owner of it. I believe that God is big enough to carry all your burdens and mine. What do you think? Don't you believe that, Gene? God is big enough to carry all of our burdens, for He even bears up the worlds on His shoulders. He's in control of everything. Don't you think He can handle your problems? Aren't you glad He can and does? Amen? Let me read something to you this morning from a little book that I really appreciate. It's called Steps to Christ, page 100. It's an easy page to remember. That's the age most of us are shooting for. 100, Steps to Christ. Listen to this statement. Keep your wants and your joys, your sorrows, your cares, and your fears before God. You cannot burden Him. You cannot weary Him. He who numbers the hairs of your head is not indifferent to the wants of His children. Take to Him everything that perplexes the mind. How much is that? Everything. Every big problem, every little problem, every problem in between, take it to God. It's not too great for Him to bear. For He holds up worlds. He rules over all the affairs of the universe. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for Him to notice. There is no chapter in our experience too dark for Him to read. Do you believe that? Have you ever done something dumb? Don't raise your hand. That'd be dumb. Have you ever done anything that was really off the wall, so to speak? So much so that you even look back at what you had done and said, "Man, that was stupid." You don't even need anyone to agree with you. You know how dumb it was. A black spot in your life. And you wish you could go back and redo it and do it again in another way. But you can't. It's done. And you'd like to close the closet door on it forever. Jesus says to you, there is nothing so dark in your past that I cannot walk through it with you. I see it all. And you know what? I still love you because there's hope. What a God He is. Not to point His finger at those dark moments in our life, but rather to bring His light into those darkened corners of our life that we might find deliverance from the darkness that still harasses our soul. God says, let me take it. Let it go. For there's nothing so dark in your life that I cannot read and notice, understand, and give you victory over. There's no chapter too dark. There is no perplexity too difficult for Him to unravel. Do you like spaghetti? Anybody like spaghetti? Okay, Dave likes spaghetti. I'll talk to Dave. Dave, when you get that spaghetti and you pile a whole plate of spaghetti together, have you ever noticed that those long things are not nice and neatly laid out? Nancy probably doesn't take time to do this for you. To lay out these spaghetti strands all in nice, big, neat, straight rows. Have you ever had a plate of spaghetti that none of the spaghetti was mixed up or mixed up? It was just straight as strings lying on the plate? Probably not. Because we think of spaghetti as just pile it on, right? And I think of that when I read this statement by Ellen. There is no perplexity too difficult for Him to unravel. And I said one day as I was looking at that bowl of spaghetti in front of me, only God could straighten this mess out. Is your life like a plate of spaghetti? Sort of plopped together and all interwoven with problems, perplexities, calamities? Do you find yourself just sort of at your wit's end at times, not knowing where to begin, where to end, where that piece goes, and how it all fits together? Jesus says to you and to me that no calamity, no crisis in your life can befall the least of your children. Nothing that's so perplexing that He can't bring order out of, that He can't straighten it out. So that if you could see the end from the beginning, you would choose in no other way in which to be led. Isn't that precious? What a God to straighten our lives out like that. There is no anxiety that can harass your soul, no joy, cheer, no sincere prayer escape your lips, of which your Heavenly Father is unobservant. or in which he takes no immediate interest. You see, he sees the smallest tear, and he watches the corner of the mouth that's curled in a smile of joy and happiness. He sees it all. And when you smile, he smiles. When you weep, he weeps, because you are important to him. Every feeling you feel, every pain that you experience, every joy that comes to your soul, God is there. I think that's neat. When I'm hurting, I know God doesn't throw me away. He's there to help me through the hurt. The relations between God and each soul are as distinct and full as though there were not another soul upon the earth to share His watch care. Not another soul for whom He gave His beloved Son. Susan, you're that important to God. If you were the only person on this earth, God would have sent His Son to die that you might live. That's how important each of us are here this morning. And somebody ought to say amen. Amen. If you still have your Bible open to John chapter 1, then look at verses 12 and 13. Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. This is what our relationship with God should be, beloved. I'm reading from the New International Version. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. It almost sounds like we fellows didn't really have a choice in this matter. Sort of sounds like God says, your wife will get pregnant when I determine. Now, why do you suppose that is? I have a hunch. God knows who He wants to be born. And every person that's born is special to Him, chosen by Him. I think if you read Ephesians, you'll understand what I'm saying. Let me see if it's still there. You don't need to turn to it unless you want to. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as He, God, hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. In other words, I read that God has predetermined that you and I should have been born, otherwise we wouldn't have been. In other words, you and I were chosen before the world was created. God had you in mind. Well, Lita, why is there no amen to that? Come on, somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. You see, too many of our young people today that are born think they were sort of an accident. Beloved, in God's great kingdom and universe, there are no accidents. Everything is divinely appointed and called into being. And when a little child is born, God has a place for that child. I want you to think about it, because this morning you are that child. God has a place for you. No more surely does God have a specific place in His coming kingdom than He has a specific work for you to do on this earth. In other words, you've been called for a purpose. You've been chosen. Long before your mommy and daddy ever met, God had you in mind. And the only way He could get you, Dorothy, is by your mom and dad coming together. Think about it. There are young people today that hate their mom and dad. I'd like to say, as a preacher of the gospel, you better thank God for them, because if it hadn't have been for them, you wouldn't be. We all owe something to our flesh and blood. Amen? We all owe our own existence to them and God's divine choice that we be born through their lineage. They may have questioned Rahab, the harlot who hung that scarlet cord out of her window. But God had a divine plan. And if you'll read the book of Hebrews, you'll find that the harlot Rahab is mentioned among those mentionable men and women of faith. For it was through Rahab the harlot that Jesus Christ's own descendants came. Are you aware of that? You see, beloved, you and I may see our life messed up and messed over. No hope. I'm just a misfit. I'd like to suggest, according to God's Word, that isn't so, because through your lineage, God wants to lead others into His eternal kingdom. Through you, He wants to have His offspring. Don't underestimate the high calling that God has called in you. You're important to Him. As a child of God, He will never give you or me more than we can carry. Do you believe that? And that's the beauty of being His son and His daughter. I'm reminded of little Eddie, a little boy home one day helping his daddy. His daddy was a pastor. His dad was emptying a great big box of clothes. And he was laying these clothes piece by piece, nice and neatly, on Eddie's outstretched arms. And the clothes were piling up almost to his chin. Another individual in the community had stopped by and was visiting with Dad. Was standing there as Dad continued to talk and lay these clothes nice and neatly over Eddie's extended arms. After they reached his chin extended, the guest in the house turned to little Eddie and said, "Young man, I think that's quite enough. I think that's about all you can handle." At which little Eddie let loose a beautiful smile. Above the clothes, and with a twinkle in his eye, he said, "Excuse me, but Daddy knows how much I can bear." Beloved, your Heavenly Father knows how much you and I can bear. And He will never, never give you more than what you can endure through His grace. What a blessing to know that He is our Daddy. What a blessing to know that it's His hand that was scarred for you and me that's laying those burdens on your heart and mine today. What a blessing to know that our God cares as to how much He lays. And He'll never lay one piece more than He knows through His grace we need and we can do for Him. That's because, beloved, we've chosen to be stewards and chosen Him to be our Creator God. But for those who haven't received that experience, those who still see themselves as owners, when do they stop piling it on their own shoulders? When do they stop collecting it in their arms? Only when they collapse and have no God. And may they then find that there is a God who cares, who will stoop and lift the load that they have placed unwittingly upon their own shoulders. For God even cares for those. Where are you this morning? Are you an owner? Are you a steward? I would appeal to you this morning to be a steward of God, knowing that your own body is a temple of God. Don't abuse it. Take care of it. So that one day when Jesus comes back, He'll be able to say to you and to me alike, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler, not owner, over many things." And if you thought you were going to have a mansion in the earth made new with your name on it and hold the deed, think again. Beloved, we never graduate from being stewards, because we only have one daddy and we have Him forever. That's God. Isn't that precious? Never have to worry about taxes again. Daddy's house. He'll take care of me forever and ever. Don't you want to go home? Beloved, let's be faithful as stewards here so that we can continue that stewardship throughout eternity. What do you say? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for giving to us an older brother who has given us an example of what it means to trust in You. Father, may we be who have learned to trust in you as Jesus did. Bless us today in all of our activities, and may we who are husbands accept the role of being stewards, accountable managers of our homes. Help us to be faithful in our relationship with our mates that you've entrusted to our care. May our wives respond accordingly to use their gifts to be supportive and to help us as men in every way that they can. And together, Father, may we take care of those little children that you've entrusted to our care, that we might be the best possible parents, just like you would be if you were here, so that when you come back to claim them, that we'll have them ready for you. And Father, for those of us that have already made some tremendous mistakes and there's dark spots in our lives, thank you this morning for helping us to bear those burdens too. Perhaps we've lost our children, the ones you entrusted to us. Father, we ask you'll forgive us. Wipe the dark spots from our memories and our hearts, and give us another chance with the children in our Sabbath school, with the children of our grandchildren. Help us, Father, to redeem the time as stewards, that we might one day soon be stewards in the earth made new, not because we're worthy, but because Jesus is. In His name we pray. Amen.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.